Friends in Christ,
grace to you and peace from God our Father
and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Sometimes indeed we do just need a break. That's the theme of the old McDonald's commercial. You deserve a break today, right? Or the Kit Kat candy jingle. Give me a break, break me off a piece. You know how that one goes. It's the theme of thousands of ad campaigns because it appeals to the feeling in our gut that life is hard and we really ought to take care of ourselves. And it's true that self-care is an important part of a healthy life, but at the same time, the notion of taking a break can also become an excuse or a luxury we really can't afford. Hard work never hurt anyone, we say. And also, success is not a moment to cherish, it's a journey to keep on going. We admire people who can keep going through what seems to be challenge after challenge. And we envy those who seem to have every opportunity to rest and relax. But we also know that true wholeness comes in creating a kind of balance. Enough work to make ourselves useful and purposeful, and rest when we need to renew and recharge. So it's hard to know who to admire and respect in the story that Jesus tells about the rich man and Lazarus. We've heard this line before. There was a rich man. It's the same way that Jesus started last week's story. There was a rich man who had an employee who mismanaged and embezzled funds. That was last week's story. And remember, there were no good guys in that story, only crooks and those who manipulated the system for the sake of themselves. And again, this week, Jesus begins. There was a rich man who feasted every day. In a way, this is the kind of person we all hope to be. Perhaps it's the kind of person we already are. As I've said over and over, especially in Luke's version of his story about Jesus, this matter of the rich and the poor, the powerful and the weak, the haves and the have-nots, it seeps into everything. So when Jesus says, there was a rich man, we know what's coming. And it'd be easy for me to say on a day like today, can't we just take a break? Can't we just sit back and not bother with all of this rich and poor business? I mean, we know that we have to help the poor, but there comes a time when we say, when is somebody going to help me? That's certainly what the Pharisees were saying. Give me a break, Jesus. You're making us feel bad for having stuff and for being successful. You have to read and go back and read what happens in between the stories. But Jesus isn't telling these stories for fun. He's criticizing the powerful and the rich people, especially the powerful, rich, religious people. We come to church on Sunday mornings to get away from the crazy world, to have a break from the stresses and complications of the world. We come to renew and recharge, to feel good about who we are and all that we've accomplished. So why does Jesus keep making us feel bad about ourselves? I don't know, maybe I should preach on the epistle for the day. From 1 Timothy, how does it say? The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Dang. So why, what about this Lazarus? Who is this Lazarus? It's not the same Lazarus who died and was brought back to life by Jesus. This Lazarus is a poor man, a beggar. Apparently, in ancient times, many who owned lavish homes and large estates would place a bench just outside the front door or the gate. And the purpose of this bench was so that if anyone was in need, they could sit there and rest. And of course, the rules of hospitality require that if someone comes to your home, you offer them a bit of food or drink, something to sustain them on their journey. It's a nice concept, isn't it? Even today, people have benches and chairs outside their front porch. What for, if not to welcome a friend to sit a spell? Only like anything good and worthy, the idea gets corrupted. The rich man may have been eager to put a bench outside his gate because it sent a message to all of his neighbors. Look at how generous I am. Look at how I followed the rules of custom and righteousness and made my home a welcome place for the needy. But the bench doesn't do any good if you pay no attention at all to the person who comes to sit upon it. And that's where the rich man fails. For Lazarus comes to sit on the rich man's bench day after day, and Lazarus is denied even the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table. And when Lazarus dies, and also the rich man dies, they find that the chasm that existed between them in life has been amplified in eternal life. Lazarus rests in the arms of Abraham, and the rich man falls into the flames of Hades. Now remember, this is still Jesus' story. These aren't literal things that happened to these two people. These aren't even real people at all. Jesus even borrows from Greek mythology, using the image of Hades, which isn't part of Jewish tradition. But the point is to emphasize the disparity between people like Lazarus and the likes of this rich man. Finally, the justice due to Lazarus comes to be. And the pleas of the rich man to ease his torment or warn his brothers seems to be hopeless. The rich man wants a break for himself and those like him, but when a break for the likes of Lazarus was needed, no one in this world seemed to pay him any need. Perhaps the only way we can hear this story and truly respond with hope and renewal for all is to remember the larger story in which this one resides. Jesus is the one speaking here. Jesus is the one about whom this gospel is being told. Jesus is the one who demands that we not neglect the poor like Lazarus, that we reject the lifestyle of the rich man, that we put off the break which we so dearly hope for, and give ourselves away for the sake of the forgotten in our world. And Jesus is the one who goes to the cross for us. If the cross of Christ really frees us from sins, we must recognize that our salvation is at once a one-and-done experience, and at the same time, a daily dying and rising. Yes, we are safe in the arms of Jesus, just as Lazarus rests in the arms of Abraham. But we must also daily look for those who sit on the benches outside our gates. Those who ask for food and housing and health care and asylum and freedom and hope and love. Does our freedom lead us to share at least the crumbs that fall from our tables? Think about the blessings we enjoy. The feasting of the rich man that is evident also in our lives. The feast of the rich man is this church that we are blessed to worship in. It's the people to our right and our left who pray with us and for us. It's the donuts that await us downstairs and the conversation between friends. It's the food that we have in our refrigerators at home and the money in our pockets that we may buy lunch today after church. It's the clothes on our backs and the opportunity to wear a different outfit tomorrow and the day after that and the next day and the next day. According to our faith, the reason we have all of these things is because Jesus lived and died on the cross and rose again on the third day. According to our faith, the purpose of all of these things in our lives is not that we would just kick back and enjoy them day after day. According to our faith, we are called to use these gifts of God for the sake of those who sit on the benches outside our gates. And yes, you deserve a break today. Inasmuch as you are sick and sad and anxious and fearful and hungry and grieving and worried about all that this troublesome world feeds us every day, you deserve to come to this place of worship and rest in the arms of Jesus. To feast at Jesus' table, to feel again the water of baptism on our skin. Welcome to this place and to this time. Bless you. Blessings for you. Only recognize the crumbs of those blessings. And more than the crumbs, the abundance of God's blessings, which are more than enough to share with the Lazaruses who wait outside our gates and the multitude who wait in thousands of places around our community and in our world. For Jesus wishes a break for them too.